Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he began to inquire of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' When Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him.' And having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.' And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And he was there until the death of Herod, and that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Out of Egypt that I called my son.' And when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which they had ascertained from the Magi. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more.' But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, 'Arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' And he rose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee and came and resided in a city called Nazareth, with that which was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he should be called a Nazarene." Amen. So we have a little bit of history here that's being played out. So Herod, this is towards the end of his reign. He had a tumultuous reign, and it ends in a very tumultuous way. During this time, as this writing is here, he is dying of gonorrhea. And most likely, he also is probably dying of cancer in some way. There's a lot of political history that's going on that's really convoluted in many ways. He was installed, his benefactor was Mark Antony back in Rome. But when he becomes Caesar, he would switch sides to Augustus. But later on, the relationship with Augustus would deteriorate so much so. In fact, let there be light. Later on, what happens is, this is what Herod says. He says, "It's better to be Herod's pig than Herod's son." And that kind of statement, pretty powerful, especially owing to the fact that most people thought he was kosher. Particularly while he was killing his wife, his mother, and his three older sons in this way. The Magi, they come from the east. Now, you can imagine in Herod's very paranoid state that he's in, these people coming from the east would have been a huge, huge threat to him. Remember, Herod built fortresses all along there. If you guys have ever been to Israel, You know, one of the big fortresses was Masada that we went and visited. And so he had lined himself with the fortresses all along the east, basically to protect him from this threat that's coming from Persia. And lo and behold, what happens? These magi come from the east, basically bypassing all of their fortresses. And now they come into the holy city. And he's thinking, oh, this threat that he imagined is now here. So the Magi, I know most depictions of them are just like these sweet old men. These guys were a powerful political, spiritual force. They were the elites. These guys, they exercise authority. And if you go to the scriptures, even before the time of Daniel, most people don't know this, Daniel was a Magi. And so when we read about group of people that were interpreted dreams and they possess a secret knowledge of the planet and the stars and all those things, that was Esther 1:13 talks about them. And Daniel, in Daniel 2:4-8 and 5:11, Daniel was the chief magi. And so in Persia, there was this elite ruling class. Remember what Daniel was in the king's court. And so there was this elite class of people, incredibly brilliant, incredibly smart, taught all the different trades and crafts around the world. And these guys were important. They were elite. And so because of the exiled Jewish population that were in Babylon, now these magi had access to Jewish scriptures. And they studied these scriptures just like they studied a lot of other things. Interestingly enough, a lot of people believe that that old class of magi, that people, are today what you call the Yazidis. And if you remember during the Gulf War, there was great persecution. Yazidis, they're not Christians. They're not Jews, but they're not Muslims either. And so the Muslims, I mean, they persecute Yazidis to no end. And a part of, like, if you remember, we gave quite a bit of money to an organization called Roads of Success. Part of that was because what they did is they actually rescued these Yazidi girls because they were basically being sold into sex trafficking amongst these Muslim fighters. It sounds almost very eerily similar to the comfort women during World War II, where, you know, Koreans, Filipinos, some Chinese women were basically taken under false pretenses and then given to soldiers in the front line. Daesh, ISIS, did that with these Yazidi girls. I mean, it's just crazy how history keeps repeating themselves. You know why? Because it's the same devil. Right, it's the same evil that lurked way back then during World War II. It's lurking even now in this way, and so you have this. The star that they're referring to is out of Numbers 24:17. I'll read this. It says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel." And so they see this star. Interestingly enough, as I talked about yesterday, remember when Abraham was told, you know, just look out and count the stars, right? He didn't see, obviously it's daytime, you don't see any star but the sun, but he saw the stars in faith. And could it be that what he really believed, he saw that star that would eventually, that he talks about here in Numbers, but that star that actually the Magi would begin to see. And you could see why that statement, right, pleased the Lord so much. So the entourage comes together, and these wise men don't come by themselves. They come with a full Persian cavalry. I mean, this is a huge battalion that comes together into this place. And what do? Think about this. They come and they announce that they're going to worship this newborn king. I'm going to get to that in a moment. That's going to really make you feel good today in this way. Herod is terrified of this news. So he calls the Sadducees, he calls the Pharisees, right? These were the chief priests, the people in charge of the temple, but these are the Pharisees, now the teachers of the law. And they got together, and just think about this kind of connection. Herod wants to kill this baby. That's his whole point. Later on, the Pharisees and Sadducees will want to kill this son as well. And so, interesting enough, they ask him about this situation, what's going to happen here. And look what these guys, the Sadducees and these Pharisees, they quote verbatim Micah 5:2. Oh yeah, he's going to come from Bethlehem. They quote verbatim. They know that this king, this Messiah, is going to come from Bethlehem. Here's Herod that's asking them about the situation, but yet they care not to actually walk. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, to walk downhill a few miles to Jerusalem to investigate. It's something. You could have all the knowledge of the world. I mean, you could have biblical knowledge and be able to quote things verbatim, but if you don't have the heart, right, or just the willingness to go down, I mean, these guys just heard the king is coming. They've been waiting thousands of years, and they refused to walk downhill, you know, roughly about 5 miles downhill to see this king. I mean, you could see already kind of the darkness that's already in their heart. I mean, they're able to quote verbatim of this king, but nothing, no movement whatsoever. See, it's not enough to know stuff. It's not. It's not enough to have so much knowledge, right? And then I'm gonna compare with the wise men in a moment. And so Herod asked for this secret meeting. They calculate the boy's ages, you know. And so what happens later on? He gives execution orders to kill these babies within 2 years. Now, it's very sad. Don't get me wrong. But most historians, they probably say about 30 or 40 babies were killed. So it's not like the massive thousands that we think about, right? I mean, it's still you know, one is a lot, right? But about 30 or 40 during this time. And so let's go back to the wise men. So let's contrast. Here's the Pharisees and Sadducees. Religious leaders refused to walk downhill about 5 miles to see this risen king. Or not the risen king, but see this king, this boy king, baby king. And what do the wise men do? Think about this. They find him, and the first thing they do is they fall to their knees, and they worship him. I mean, think about this. With all their vast knowledge, all their understanding of secret writings, secret wisdom, sacred wisdoms, you know, all their learning, and they spent their whole life learning. That's all they were doing. And yet they had not found the wisdom their hearts were longing for. There was something there, right? I mean, why else would they take this long, long journey if not to satisfy a deep, deep hunger that the wisdom of the world just could not satisfy them? You know, more likely there was much more than three magi that entered this journey. They just mentioned three because of the three gifts that they brought. And all very prophetic. They brought gold, which represents kingship. So they were saying this baby is a king. They brought frankincense. Frankincense is the only incense, only fragrance that's allowed in the temple during worship. And so it represented his priesthood. And so, I mean, these incredibly wise men, they brought gold. Baby Jesus, you're a king. They brought the frankincense. You are our priest. In other words, you are our connection between to God for us. And then the last thing is they brought the myrrh. And the myrrh was the perfume used in embalming. And they said, you are a king, you are our priest, and you will die for our sins. It's incredibly prophetic gifts, perfect gifts for the king priest who would die for us who came to die. The simple fact that they came, they bowed down, they worshiped this king, is this toddler king indicates that they found what they were looking for. You know, it reminds me of you know, that song by U2, right? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Well, these guys found what they're looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But to those who are called, who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Even though they had all this wisdom, they had all this knowledge, they had access to all of this stuff, there was still something missing in their hearts. And then when they saw this baby king, they found what they were looking for. And they fell down and worshiped him. It's so different. It is so different than what we see in the world today. Now you have this new line of neo-atheists. You know, these are the new cutting-edge atheists. And they would want us to think that believing in Christ, believing in the Bible, that you're just some kind of idiot. You know, you're just some kind of insane fool for believing that. And all to that, I just quote Paul, Romans 1:22. This is what I say to all those neo-atheists and, you know, simple. Romans 1:22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's exactly what happens. And you, I mean, you look at the contrast. Here's these wise men. They know everything, and yet they come. They're longing and they bow down. You have the religious leaders. They know everything too. They have the scriptures, and they refuse to even make a trip. These guys travel thousands of miles in rough terrain, you know, under sweltering heat and all this kind of stuff. But they came to satisfy a longing. The religious leaders didn't even bother. I mean, they didn't even bother. And so Joseph, I just love, remember Matthew's writing in the perspective of Joseph in this early narrative of his childhood. And it's just amazing how God just so supernaturally leads Joseph. Dream after dream after dream after dream. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is a good lesson for us. Man, if you really want to do God's will, and you really want to follow the Lord, you know, as we talked over the weekend, to fully follow the Lord, you know, like Caleb did, and you have that heart, listen, God's going to guide you. God's going to lead you. In fact, I'm going to say this: direction, guidance from God will be easy. It'll be so, God will just lead us as our shepherd, right? The key is you have to want to do his will, right? That willingness and that longing and the heart to actually do it, right? So it's not just head knowledge like the Pharisees and Sadducees. And we see this, Joseph has another dream and he says he's going to kill the baby. So take off, and he took off immediately. You can see this immediate obedience that takes place. And then he finds himself, and listen, they're not alone, okay? He finds himself, and history says that he lands in Alexandria. And if you know this area, Alexandria has a healthy Jewish community that's there. And so it's not like, you know, like they're foreigners and they're lost for a few years. You know, they're in community with their people in Alexandria. But it's a 300-mile journey that they embark. And then throughout chapter 2, we see, as we talked about yesterday, the fulfillment formula. And so he quotes Hosea 11:1 and Jeremiah 31:15. And Jeremiah is describing the seizure and forced march from Israel to Babylon. Rachel is used as a figurehead for all the women who are grief-stricken and beyond all comfort, as he talks about the slaying of the kids, like I said, about 30 to 40 this time. Joseph then gets another dream that it's safe to come back. And so he's on his way back, and then he finds out that Archelaus is in charge. This is Herod's oldest son, and he was a monster. This is how bad he was. He eventually gets deposed by Augustus because of his atrocities. for whatever reason, Archelaus had a deep, deep hatred for the Jewish people. And he did things to them that were just, I mean, enough for him to be deposed. Let's put it that way. You know, by a people. I mean, okay, think about how bad you have to be, okay? He is so evil to Jewish people, he gets deposed from his position from a group of people who hate Jewish people. How bad do you have to be? You know what I mean? You know, for a group of people that already hate Jews to actually depose a person because he does bad things to Jewish people, you got to be pretty bad. That was Archelaus. And so you can see why Joseph is concerned. And so then he has another dream that happens. And then we have the last of the fulfillment formula. And he says that he'll be called a Nazarene. Well, in the Old Testament, there actually isn't anything per se that refers to this. But what the prophecy is that Isaiah 11:1 speaks of a branch growing from the root of Jesse. If you remember that, the word branch is the word Nesser, is where we get the word Nazarene. And so that's the prophecy. So some people say, hey, I don't see any Nazarene in the Old Testament. Well, you know, you have to look a little deeper to understand this. And so we see this happening. Okay, so let's close our eyes. All these fulfillment formulas that take place. Do you remember when Paul said, knowledge puffs up, right? But love edifies, love builds up. You have to be careful when you pursue knowledge. We have to be very, very aware. And don't get me wrong, we should pursue knowledge, particularly biblical knowledge. But if you don't do anything about it, in other words, if there's not any application, you basically are in dead religion. That's precisely what the Sadducees and Pharisees are at. Just think in context. These guys, they've been waiting for thousands of years. And they hear now, maybe because they heard it from people that feel like shouldn't know. Who knows? But their unwillingness to walk downhill a few miles. Contrast to these wise men, they had such a longing. You know, really, every single one of us, we are these wise men. There was a longing deep inside of us that the world could not satisfy. All the knowledge, all the money, all the fame, all the entrapments of this world just could not satisfy. And when Jesus finds us, we fall to our knees and we are fulfilled. I know that's my story. I'm sure it's your story as well. So let's keep that same heart to follow after him. Let's keep that same heart to be willing to go the extra mile. It's not just enough to have head knowledge. It's got to be connected to our doing. Faith without works is dead. Let's pray.
Jesus, at the center of it all. Jesus, at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center.
This morning, and let's pray just real simply that we would be not just hearers of the word, but doers. Let's pray. Let's go before the Lord. Go to our community prayers and let's lift up our friends and family that are battling through cancer. So let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are bound through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for those who are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that has COVID. Let's pray for God's healing over them, over their bodies. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers. Let God protect them and just give them a lot of strength during this time. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's pray for our city. Let's pray for our leaders, our government leaders. Let's continue to cover just the COVID situation. And especially, I think people are getting a little nervous about the borders opening up. Let's just pray for this real peace over that whole situation. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap in the city that's causing a lot of issues. Let's pray for revival. Let's ask God to just stir the churches and the gospel be preached powerfully. Let's pray for our friends ministering here, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, God Catering, S&D, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Let's pray for our staff. Let's ask God to really use these men and women to lead our church. Pray that their labor would be fruitful before God, and our hearts would always just burn brighter for Him. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our education department, pray for our SP kids, and just continue to bless and use Lisa and SP youth over Caleb and SP youth over Grace. Let's just pray for our leaders, our volunteers, and especially our students and our young ones, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's lift up. Let's pray for the worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for P-Nade and Wesley and Rachel. Let's just ask God's hand upon our volunteers, our musicians, our singers, that they would really lead us into the presence of God. Let's lift up the pregnant ladies in our house. Let's ask for God's protection. Let's pray for safety for the baby. Pray for the families to really enjoy this time. Let's go to our member focus and let's pray for Peter. Let's pray that he'd be a blessing to people around him, that he would career path would grow and have fruitful relationships, and he'd be experiencing the perfect love relationship. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Winnie. Pray for her mom's health and for her own health. Pray for two new helpers to get along and to pick up the work, and pray that she'd finish the race that she's supposed to run well. Let's lift up. Let's pray for Esther. Pray for a place to live and a good flatmate back in London. Pray for her graduation and her new job starting the beginning of this year. And pray for a spouse. Let's lift up our sister. Pray together. Father, we thank you, God. I thank you for your word, God, that speaks so much to us, God. Lord, yeah, help us know not just to read and to listen, God, but help us to also do, Lord. We want to be, Lord, more like the Magi, God, falling down and worshiping before the sun, and not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, God, who have all this knowledge, Lord, but an unwillingness in their heart to follow through with that knowledge. Help us, God. We can easily fall into that trap of spiritual pride. And so help us, Lord. God, we want to dedicate this day to you, God, and come and be glorified in the midst of it, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.